Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Paul continues to deal with the Corinthian church members regarding their divisiveness, their immaturity, their carnality, their pride. Pride is at the root of all of this. And so as we come to this center section of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is trying to help them to adjust their thinking, to think more soberly, to think more honestly, to think more accurately, to think more humbly. He wants to see an attitude adjustment. And so in verse 6, he sets before them examples for emulation, namely Paul and Apollos, who were not divided, were not bickering, were not in competition with one another, like these factions in the church that were coalescing around them. Follow the example of the men that you say that you are following. Act like Paul. Act like Apollos. Act like Paul and Apollos behave toward one another. They are good examples for emulation. And secondly, he set before them some questions for contemplation in verse 7. Who makes you differ from another? You're not responsible for your superior gifts. What do you have that you did not receive? You didn't manufacture these things. They were given to you by God. You received them. You didn't create them. Why do you boast as if you did not receive them? Why are you all puffed up about what you have when you're not responsible for it? Boy, that'll take you down a peg if you'll think about that. And then, as we saw in the broadcast yesterday in verse 8, Paul resorted to sarcasm, and he used some sarcasm for realization to help them understand how wrong their thinking was. And so he said, oh yeah, you're already full, you're already rich, you're already reigning in the kingdom without us. We apostles aren't there yet. We haven't arrived yet, but you somehow think you have. Come on, snap out of it. And now, finally, we're going to have in verses 9 through 13 a description for information. And that's where we are going on the broadcast today, which is Wednesday, July 14. Please stay with us if you can, and please help us financially if you can. Well, they need to have a proper attitude about serving Christ. They need to realize that godliness does not produce ease and worldly honor, as they seem to think it does. It actually brings suffering and sacrifice. That's what you need to understand. So, first of all, in this description for information, how Christ's apostles are to be regarded, verses 9 and the first part of verse 10. Verse 9, for I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. Apostles. The apostle was the highest office in the church. Apostles are a high office that isn't even in existence today, as far as I can tell from my study of Scripture. But at that time, that was the highest office in the church. Apostles had a superior ranking, superior authority, superior gifts, superior spiritual power over anyone else in this early church. They had the ability to perform miracles. That was part of what was given to them as apostles, what Paul calls the signs of an apostle later on in his Corinthian epistles. And so they are the highest ranking Christians, the highest ranking officers, the highest ranking leaders in the early church. And what is the reality with them? Back to verse 9. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. The apostles are actually last, not first. They are condemned to death. They are not enjoying the good life now. Paul in particular, but others as well. But Paul was constantly being hounded and was close to death on more occasions than he could probably even count. They are mocked. They are made a spectacle to the world, he says here. We've been made a spectacle to the world. A spectacle is a theater to the world. They're a source of sport, of entertainment, of mockery. They are fools for Christ's sake. We are fools for Christ's sake, verse 10. This is the reality of what it's like to be an apostle. You are aspiring to places of leadership because you think, listen to me now, you think that that's going to heap upon you greater honor. And that's the way many people think today. Many people are jockeying for position in the church. Many people are aspiring for honorable positions in the church because they think that's going to give them a greater standing, greater admiration, greater honor in the church. Well, there will be some of that because God's people will recognize those who are faithful servants of Christ and who are placed in positions of leadership by Christ and who have been gifted by Christ. And God's people will recognize that and will give them appropriate honor within the church. But you've got to understand that what comes with that is actually more than enough to offset whatever honor and prestige that those positions achieve for one in the church. Overall, that position, in any position of leadership in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to make you last, not first. That's what Jesus said. If you want to be first, then you need to make yourself last. Because in Christ's kingdom, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The people who push themselves into the first place are going to be demoted to the last place. The people who willingly, humbly step into the last place, they're just servants like Jesus with the towel girded around his waist going around washing the disciples' feet. Those who have that attitude, that level of Christ-like humility, are going to be elevated to the highest positions. But in truth, being a true, godly, spiritual leader does not bring a lot of earthly prestige and advantage. It brings humility. It brings suffering. It brings danger. It brings the potential for death. It brings mocking. You are made a spectacle to the world. It brings the sense of being a fool. The world will think of you as a fool. Now that's true of the apostles, so why is this somehow not true of those who are not apostles, but seem to be aspiring to be apostles. In fact, seem to be aspiring to set themselves even above the apostles. Here's how the Corinthians regarded themselves. We are weak. Well, verse 10, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. Oh, yeah. Apostles are weak and you are wise. Or apostles are fools and you are wise. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. Do you see the sarcasm again? Here the apostles are fools for Christ's sake, but you consider yourselves to be very wise. Apostles are those who are weak, and they recognize themselves to be weak. And Paul actually said that that was the source of his strength, that Christ had taught him that when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am lowly and weak and dependent, then God's power rests upon me, and I become strong in his might, strong in his power, but not in myself. So apostles are weak and will be if they're going to be effective for the Lord, but you are strong. You think yourselves strong. You are strong in yourselves. You, said Paul, are distinguished. Oh, yes, how honorable, how distinguished, how high is your reputation, at least in your own eyes. But we, apostles, are dishonored. So, the truth about Christ's apostles is that they were lowly and condemned and mocked and fools, but the Corinthians regarded themselves as wise and strong and distinguished. So what's wrong with this picture? Something wrong here in their thinking. Something wrong in their concept of what it means to be a leader in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They really were way off base in their understanding here. Here's how the apostles lived in the world. Verse 11. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure. This is how apostles lived in the world. Right up to this moment, to the present hour, right up till now, said Paul. Hungry at times, poorly clothed, not fashionably dressed. Homeless, not living in mansions, doing manual labor, working with their own hands, which in Greek society was thought to be suitable only to slaves. No free man would aspire to work with his hands. He would avoid that at all costs. He would think himself above that, but Paul did it. Paul worked with his own hands to earn his own living. He even declined financial support from the Corinthian church. We'll get into that eventually as we continue our study, that this is what he did for a reason. It's not that he wasn't happy to receive financial help from other churches in the right situation, but not from the church at Corinth. He absolutely refused because of their wrong attitudes, because of their immaturity, because of their suspicion and skepticism of Paul and his motives for serving them. And so this is an accurate picture of apostles, hungry, poorly clothed, homeless, and even doing manual labor to support themselves. And you think you're better than that and that you should receive honor and be considered wise and be thought of as being strong? Something wrong with this picture that apostles can be so lowly and you can be so high. Think about this. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.